The reading is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, and can be found on page 1070 in the Church Bible. That's John chapter 6, verse 25. When the crowd found Jesus on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, speak to us now from your word. We pray, open that word to us and teach us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you want? What do you want? What do you need? What does Britain want? What does Britain need? These are some of the questions in the air at the time of the general election. And it's good to ponder them. It's good to read the various party manifestos and to listen to the party leaders to find out what they've got to offer, to find out what their vision for this country is. But it's also good to listen to God. We need to hear from our Creator. We need to hear from our Creator the secret of what life is all about. We need to hear from our Creator how to live life in a way that pleases Him. And most of all, we need to hear from our Creator about life after death. Well, these are the very things that Jesus is teaching us in our reading from John chapter 6 today. Let's look at it a bit more closely. Firstly, we need to know what life is all about. What is life all about? What is the heart of life? What is the secret of life? What is the purpose of life? What is the thing that you've got to get to the end of your life having known, having done? Those of you who are old enough, as old as me, may remember a TV advert with the slogan, "I'm only here for the beer." Don't know if any of you remember that, "I'm only here for the beer." Well, Jesus makes a similar point to his hearers on the occasion we've just read about. He says, "You're only here for the bread," in actual fact. Jesus said in verse 26, "I tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." You see, they had been there at the feeding of the 5,000. That incredible event. And Jesus says, well, they'd had a good feed, and what they're really hoping for is there's going to be another free lunch, courtesy of Jesus. But Jesus says, what I have to offer is something much better. What I've got to offer you is something of much more lasting significance. More than a great miracle, more than a great feed. And he says this, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." Surely these are some of those remarkable words that have ever been uttered. Who but Jesus could stand up and say, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was a kind of gigantic visual aid, a way of showing to people that Jesus could provide, and provide not just bread for the stomach, but real lasting sustenance for the soul. Bread in the Bible meant the very essence of life. It was your staple diet. It's what you depended on as your chief source of nourishment. And when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he's saying, to know me is the vital thing for your life. It's as important as food is to your bodily life that you know me in your spiritual life. If you want to know what life is all about, if you want to know what the purpose of life is, if you want to know what the heart of life is, I am the bread of life. There's a Matt Redman song that has the line, "It's all about you, Jesus." And that's what Jesus himself taught. That's what his life and his death was all about. Jesus pointed over and over again to himself. It's about him. It's about knowing him, because he is the bread of life. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Our deepest hungers can only be satisfied in him. All the political parties are trying to sell us their wares at the present time, but it's not just them. We're constantly in our world bombarded by adverts. The message of every advert is you need to buy our product to be really satisfied. What you really need more than anything else is the thing that we want to sell you. We hear that message over and over again. Jesus says, stuff, things, possessions will never satisfy you. Because he says, "I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me will never grow hungry." We need to know what life is all about. Secondly, we need to know how to live in a way that pleases God? They asked in this question, it's a good question, what must we do to do the works that God requires? It's a good question. Jesus had already said to them, do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life. In other words, he was saying, don't put all your strength, all your effort, and all your concern into just keeping those things that keep body and soul together. Obviously, you need those things. But there is more to life than shopping, more to life than things, more to life than what you wear or what you eat. Instead, says Jesus, concentrate on what will give you real spiritual life. Focus on what will enable you to live forever, not just for the next day. That's the thing that you should work for. Okay, they say, so what is that work that God requires of us? What is it we should be working for? And here Jesus gives an answer that is so crucial and so at the heart of what the Bible tells us and so different from what nearly everyone outside thinks and so revolutionary that we just need to take it in, even though we've heard it so many times before. Verse 29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. He gives an answer that's different, that is actually the opposite of what most people instinctively think must be the case. Because Jesus says it's actually not a question of doing, it's a question of believing. God's work that you have to do is not about doing at all, it's about believing. Someone once said this to me, and it's always stayed with me. He said this, all the religions in the world say, you do this or you do that. There's certain things that you must do, certain actions you must perform, certain rituals you must take part in. All the religions in the world say, you must do this or you must do that. But Christianity says, done. Christianity says, done. I love the fact, I was just looking at the front of your church, you've got lots of crosses. You've got a cross on the table, on the front of the table. You've got one on top of the table. You've got one right there so you can't miss it. That's great, isn't it? Because the message of that, what that's all about, what that says as you come into St. Pat's on Sunday morning is done. Okay? It's all been done. Jesus on the cross said, it's finished. Not I'm finished, but it's finished. It's all been done. Christ has done it on the cross. So the work of God, what God requires of us, is to believe, to live on the basis of that. To live on the basis that it's been done, that Jesus has won the victory. Someone was telling me about the story of an attempt to translate the Bible into a tribal language in the depths of the Amazonian jungle. One of the difficulties was that some of the concepts or some of the words in the Bible didn't have an equivalent in that language. And one of the words that they didn't have was the word for believe or have faith in. Now, you're going to have trouble translating the Bible if you haven't got a word for believe. So they talked to the tribal elders in their language about what believe meant to Christians. And they said, no, you're quite right, we don't have a word like that. But the word you could use is this. And it was the equivalent of an English word, lean. They said, what you could use is our word which means lean. And I'm leaning now on this lectern. And in that language, it says that what you need to do with respect to what Jesus has done is you lean upon him. What you need to do, the work of God, what God requires is you lean upon Jesus. And that's a great way of understanding about our faith, because our faith is not just believing something's happened, but depending on it. Christ has done it. We put our faith in him. We lean upon him. We need to know what life is all about. It's about Jesus. He's the bread of life. We need to know how to live in a way that pleases him, to trust in him and believe in him. The last thing we need to know is about life after death. Jesus said this in verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of that of all that he's given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. My ministry as a vicar, I've quite often gone to cemeteries and done burials or gone to crematoria. And I've been to those amazing, powerful war cemeteries in northern France, and I've stood there and seen the thousands of graves. And whether it's those or it's just a simple grave in a churchyard, all of those cemeteries, churchyards, crematoria tell us something that we already know, but they tell us about the reality of death. And they tell us about the power of death. And when I stood, particularly in northern France, and saw thousands of graves, I thought, can anyone say anything constructive in the face of that? The finality of death. And then I thought, Jesus can. And Jesus alone can. I love those words in Revelation. He once was dead, but now he's alive. Only of Jesus can you say he once was dead. There used to be a youth group study material on the resurrection called Didn't He Used to Be Dead? Jesus is the one who used to be dead, but he's alive now, and he has the answer to death. I've told you about my thoughts in cemeteries. It was, in fact, in a cemetery that Jesus performed his greatest miracle. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, but Jesus went to the tomb and cried, Lazarus, come out. And Jesus' comment on that was to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though he dies. And not long after, the power of the resurrection was seen even more in Jesus' own body on the morning of the first Easter. Jesus is in the business of resurrection. It's his promise that everyone who believes in him will be raised to life with him forever. This is the Father's will. This is what the Father came to do. This is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he's given me, but raise them up on the last day. What we need to know is, if we belong to Jesus, if we believe in him, if we're leaning upon him, we will be raised up on the last day. This life is wonderful, but we look forward to the life of the world to come. What about you? Have you believed in Jesus? Are you ready? Are you prepared? We need to be prepared for our death because it's the one certainty in life. We need to have heeded Jesus' message. We need to have believed in him. We need to know by the time we die, before we die, that we have done the one thing that God requires of us if we're to enter heaven and the life of eternity. We need to know that we have believed in Jesus. We need to know what life is all about. It's all about Jesus. He's the bread of life. We need to know how to live in a way that pleases God by believing in Jesus and trusting in him. We need to know about life after death, because death is the one certainty in life. But if we trust in Christ, we can be certain of the life to come. Well, I began by talking about the election. It's good to live in a democracy, isn't it? It's good that we get to choose the government. The right to vote is a precious gift and one that we should make full use of on July the 4th. Each of us get to go and put our cross on that piece of paper. Everyone's the same. We all get the one vote. Now, I'm not knocking any of the party's manifestos, and I'm not knocking politics, but to say there are some things that Jesus can offer that no manifesto can offer. Let's exercise our democratic rights. Let's vote for the party that we think will be best. But let's think about Jesus' manifesto. Let's think about his promises. Let's think of the things that he says that will never appear in a party manifesto. The Bible tells us our deepest hunger is a spiritual hunger that only Jesus can satisfy. He's the bread of life. Our greatest need in this life is an antidote to death, and only Jesus has it. What do we want? What do we need? The Bible's answer is Jesus. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have heard these words so many times, but it's an amazing thought. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the one who has eternal life in his hands. Help us to trust in him, to believe in him, to put our trust in him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.